Proverbs chapter 11, verses 8 through 13. The righteous is delivered out of trouble, and the wicked cometh in his stead. An hypocrite with his mouth destroyeth his neighbor, but through knowledge shall the just be delivered. When it goeth well with the righteous, the city rejoiceth, and when the wicked perish, there is shouting. By the blessing of the upright, the city is exalted, but it is overthrown by the mouth of the wicked. He that is void of wisdom despiseth his neighbor, but a man of understanding holdeth his peace. A talebearer revealeth secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter. Oh, these are rich verses, aren't they? They sure are. As we see these, so much that could be said in one verse, we could spend the entire lesson on. But we want to stay moving through here and just kind of hit the high parts. Verse 8 is interesting in a lot of ways, where it says, the righteous is delivered out of trouble, but and the wicked cometh in his stead. What does that mean, cometh in his stead? I think if we back up to verse 6, it'll help us, because you have a similar verse. It says, the righteousness of the upright shall deliver them, but transgressors shall be taken in their own naughtiness. There looks to be here in verse 8 the thought that the trouble that the righteous is delivered out of will overtake the wicked. That's what I believe it's talking about, what I'm convinced it's talking about here in verse 8, that the wicked will reap trouble, will reap what they've sown. And in some cases, the trouble that it's talking about that the righteous have been delivered out of is trouble that the wicked have set up for the righteous, or brought into the life of the righteous person. Again, we're talking about the righteous person. Again, we're talking about that person that knows the Lord as their Savior and that are walking in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. It's not self-righteousness. It's not trying to impress someone. It's not being that Holy Joe person that has been referred to by co-workers or, you know, people that, you're just trying to make us feel bad by your lifestyle. No, true Christianity or true Christians, we're not trying to make anybody feel bad. That's not the goal. The point is that the Lord does the convicting, and if we live as unto the Lord, if we separate ourselves from sin, if we live unto the Lord, then our life will make others that are not living for the Lord, that are unsaved or out of God's will, feel uncomfortable. That's not our goal. We're not trying to make anybody feel uncomfortable, but we are trying to please the Lord. And our goal is to please the Lord, not convict. We desire that the lost be saved and that folks who are out of the will of the Lord be restored. But it's not our position to convict them. It's not our job to do. That's the Holy Spirit's job. That's God's job. We keep our eyes on the Lord, keep serving the Lord, and not let them drag us into whatever direction it is they're going. We stay on these paths of righteousness for His name's sake, and love others, and have compassion, and realize that there may have been a time in your life, and there was in mine, that I got away from the Lord, and I remember what it was like, and how I was uncomfortable around those who were faithful to the Lord and going to church like they ought to as a teenager. I remember that, and so you can understand what we're talking here. But again, we have to also remember that as far as the wicked is concerned, the lost, there we have three enemies. The Christian does. The world, that's the world of lost humanity. That's not talking about the earth necessarily. The world of lost humanity. The world, the flesh, that's the unsaved part of us. And the devil. We have three enemies that would like to overcome us, or see us destroyed, see us fall, to see us come to naught, trip up and fall. That's just the way it is. And we can't change that. We just have to recognize that and realize that the world seems at times to be energized with the devil in a desire to destroy Christianity or Christians. You see, the devil wants to do anything he can to hurt our influence with those that are lost and those that are away from the Lord. And when our influence is gone, then our testimony is gone, as you know. So that has to be maintained, because there's bridges that can be burned in our testimony, and where folks lose confidence in us and in the Lord because of that. But as we live for the Lord and we walk in paths of righteousness for His name's sake, don't expect the world and our families and everybody we work with or neighbors to understand that. I remember me and my dad, we used to sit on the front porch. I was saved. I was out of church. Dad, same way. I was probably 12, 13 years of age, summertime, sitting out on the front porch, watching the neighbors go to church. You know, we had neighbors that went to church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. I mean, they've gone off the deep end. And that's what we said. They've gone off the deep end. They go to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. And I think they even went on visitation sometime. What in the world's wrong with them folks? Now I'm one of them. I guess I've gone off the deep end. I know now what I was missing, you see. They were getting in on what I was missing. And I'm so thankful that I can enjoy the fellowship of God's people and God's house and the blessings of the Lord now. Now, but remember, it says, the righteous is delivered out of trouble, and the wicked cometh in his stead. Let me give you a verse, Psalm 7, verse 16. His mischief, talking about those that get away, that are try to that are wicked and prideful and foolish. It says, his mischief shall return upon his own head, and his violent dealings shall come down upon his own pate. P-A-T-E. That's a word I had to look up. I remember reading it before, but I never looked it up. But you know what a pate is? Anybody know? It's that right there. That bald spot right there. That crown, that's the crown of your head. That's what the pate is. That's what that word means. It said, let me read the verse again. His mischief shall return upon his own head, and his violent dealings shall come upon his own pate. That means hit you right in the top of the head. I remember I was helping a neighbor put on siding, to vinyl siding on his house. And he was up above me on a ladder, and a nail puller fell out of his nail pouch, and it didn't fall far, maybe this far, and popped me right on top of the head. And I thought, wow, that hurt. I couldn't believe how much it hurt for no further than it fell. That's a sensitive spot right there. Never realized it. I don't know. Maybe that's what's wrong with me now. That blow I took as a young man. I don't know.
I did that one time. I was putting a decoration up on my front porch.
Yeah.
And had the ladder and the hammer, and I put my stuff down. I got down, I folded the ladder up. And the hammer came down my head, bleeding. I was like crazy.
I've learned that any personal experience that you have where the word ladder is used, it's usually not good. Anytime we're telling about a personal experience where a ladder is involved, not a good thing. The pate, the very top of your head there. His mischief shall return upon his own head, meaning that which he's tried to hurt someone else with, destroy someone else with, and there's biblical examples of that. Haman is one of them, and of course several others. The Bible's full of examples of folks that have reaped what they've sown. Of course, we all do that. If we sow good things, we're going to reap good things. If we sow evil things, we'll reap evil things. Now let's look at verse 9, if you would. An hypocrite with his mouth destroyeth his neighbor, but through knowledge shall the just be delivered. Remember in the Bible, when the term neighbor is being used, it's not just talking about the person who lives next door or across the street. It means anybody who is nearby. So you got neighbors in here today. Even though we may live a long ways apart, right now you're my neighbor, and I'm your neighbor, scripturally speaking. Anybody nearby. And so that's what it's saying. An hypocrite, now remember, a hypocrite is someone who pretends to be someone that they're not. They're actors. The base word comes from drama. The dramas and they used masks instead of different people to play different parts, they just changed their mask. And so they weren't the person that the mask was showing that they were. They were somebody else in reality, weren't they? Mm-hmm. Well, see, that's what a hypocrite is. They're not what they show themselves to be or say that they are. They're something completely different. A hypocrite. And also, oh, remember that a true Bible hypocrite, if we're talking about spiritually speaking, is someone who's never been saved. They've never been saved. They act like they're professors, but they're not possessors. They've never trusted the Lord as their Savior. So that's a true Bible hypocrite. Now, saying that, we need to understand that even believers, even Christian folks, can be hypocritical. We certainly can. We can put on a false front. We can pretend to be something that we're not. Most certainly we can. So sincerity is important, especially with the Lord. It says, verse 9, a hypocrite with his mouth destroyeth his neighbor. He don't use guns or knives or a sledgehammer. That's not necessary. He can do it with his words. Proverbs has a lot to say about how much destruction we can do with words. They're very powerful. Things can get misunderstood. And that's, isn't that how misunderstandings happen? Because of words, for the most part. I mean, there's things that, I remember a misunderstanding between me and my neighbor across the street. When I was a kid, I had one of those called a wrist rocket slingshot. You know, it wraps around your wrist and it's made out of surgical tubing, and it's something else. You had to be careful what you shot with that thing. My dad didn't. I questioned my dad's wisdom about stuff he got me from time to time. I didn't shoot anything I shouldn't. You believe that, don't you? This is what really happened. This really happened. I'm standing out on the front porch, and the neighbor's dog across the street is walking up the driveway. I don't have anything in the slingshot. I don't have a rock. I don't have a marble. I don't have a ball bearing. I don't have anything that you could shoot with those things in the slingshot. But I'm just playing. I'm a kid. I'm nine years old, and I just go, there's that dog going up. And I just do a dry shot like that. And God is my witness. The very when I released that thing, that dog started limping. It pulled up this back leg and was going on three. It didn't wimp, didn't holler, didn't run, but it just, I don't know what happened. All of a sudden, that leg wasn't feeling good. The devil or the Lord or something, somebody did something to that dog. The neighbor was watching out the window. And as soon as my daddy got home, he got the phone call. Lonnie, what happened? What do you mean, what happened? I found out you shot the neighbor's dog with the slingshot. What? I didn't shoot the neighbor's dog. He said he saw you right out the window. And I'm going, how did he get that? Oh, yeah, I remember. Here's what happened. And my dad believed me and told the neighbor that. He didn't believe me. The neighbor, he's with the Lord now. He was the one that was going to church three times a week. I don't know if he ever believed me or not. That's what happened. But it honestly did. That dog started limping right the time I let that thing go. And I thought, I remember thinking, how strange. That was strange if that dog started doing it just at that time. Now, words weren't part of that. That was a misunderstanding. Words weren't a part of it. But 99% of the time, words are part of it. Things we say, misunderstood. That's why we need to be careful texting and emailing, because those messages sometimes don't come out the way we say them. Okay? They come out wrong. My daughter and my sister's with the Lord. She's the one that passed away back in December. My daughter sent her an email thanking her for a baby gift. And it was a long message. And nowadays, phones will send in a long message. But this was 10 years ago. And the message that she sent was so long it divided it up. And my sister only got the first part. And my sister sent me the message. And I'm looking at that and going, what in the world? Why would my daughter say that? I don't remember what it said, but it came out wrong. And my sister, she would jump to conclusions at times. Just saying. She would jump to conclusions. I said, "My Sarah wouldn't do that." And I called my daughter and said, "What happened here?" She said, "Dad, I didn't do that. I didn't say that." We figured it out. Finally, she got the next message, the rest of the message, and put it together. And so my daughter had to call her and apologize and all that. I'm just saying that we need to be careful how we communicate, because that's where misunderstandings come from. But a hypocrite is trying to destroy in most cases. They destroy relationships. They destroy confidences. They destroy testimonies. Anything that they can do, a hypocrite with his mouth destroyeth his neighbor. Notice, but through knowledge shall the just be delivered. That's the truth, the knowledge of the truth. That's doing the right thing. There's safety in doing the right thing and having that knowledge or understanding. Let me give you a couple of verses here. Matthew chapter 7, verse 15, Jesus said, "Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves." He's talking about in Christianity, in churches. There are false prophets out there, especially in Bible days before churches were established in doctrine and in practice. A lot of troublemakers out there that destroyed a lot of churches and destroyed a lot of people. Coming to you in sheep's clothing. That's a hypocrite, isn't it? They appear to be something that they're not. But inwardly, they are ravening wolves. And then in Proverbs chapter 6, verse 23 says, now talking about the truth and instruction. Listen to this, because it says, "But through knowledge shall the just be delivered." It says in verse 23 of Proverbs chapter 6, "For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life." Did you know that the Word of God and the truth and reproofs, the right way is the way of life, and it's good? It's a good thing? You know, sometimes we think that church, or maybe the preaching, the message, or maybe the Scripture, or the Lord. Well, the Lord just doesn't want us to have any fun, does He? Well, the word fun is not mentioned in the Bible as such, but the word joy is mentioned many times. He came that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. He said He came that our joy might be full. He wants us to have fullness of joy. But that comes from submitting to the truth and submitting to the right way, submitting to righteousness, the righteous path. You know, you remember when the Lord Jesus appeared to Paul on the road to Damascus, Saul of Tarsus, and Paul said, he was Saul then, he said, "Who art thou, Lord, or sir?" And he said, "I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks." This prick was an ox goad. We told you about that before, a sharp stick. Making the ox go in the direction that it go, time to move. And when the ox got upset with the owner of the ox, he just kicked back against that ox goad, that sharp stick. And you know what happens when you kick a sharp stick? It hurts. You're the one, I'm the one, if I should kick a sharp stick, I'm the one that suffers from it. And so understanding that if we try to go apart, away from the plan of God, we're going to inflict pain upon ourselves. The Bible says the way of the transgressor is hard, doesn't it? It's the way of the transgressor that's hard. But Jesus said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls." Matthew 11, 28-29. So we see here that the commandment is a lamp and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. It says, "But through knowledge shall the just be delivered." There is deliverance in the knowledge of God and the way of God. Now in verse 10, when it goeth well, with the righteous, the city rejoiceth, and when the wicked perish, there is shouting. Now, remember I told you that I think it's over to all the way from chapter 10 all the way over to chapter 22, verse 16, I think it is, that we have independent verses that have independent thoughts. But you might find a couple of verses that are speaking about the same subject, and that was about the true back in chapter 10 of the tongue and of speaking, where you had two verses twice that were together talking about speaking or the tongue or what we say, and then three verses together. Well, here we have two verses 10 and 11 that talk about how a city can be blessed or cursed or have trouble by those who live in it. Look at verse 10. When it goeth well with the righteous, the city rejoiceth. And when the wicked perish, there is shouting. By the blessing of the upright, verse 11, the city is exalted, but it is overthrown by the mouth of the wicked. In looking at this, and this is not, the only verse, because I'm going to share three more verses with you in the book of Proverbs. You'll find that there seems to be more influence that godly folks can have on a town or a city and the influence of ungodly people. You remember the city called Sodom and Gomorrah? What influence did it have? Remember, Abraham was looking for righteous people that lived there and couldn't even find 10. Couldn't even find 10 that would prevent the Lord from destroying it. You say, well, God's not merciful to people if he destroys. God, he's not a God of love. Yes, he is a God of love. And he does everything that he can other than making people robots, trying to encourage them to repent of their sin and turn away from their wickedness and receive him. He's done that. He can be found if he's wanted, if folks looking for him. It's not that they can't be, it's that they won't be. And so a city, even a town, is influenced by those who live in it. And if you think about it, you think, well, yeah. That's true, isn't it? It most certainly is. There's towns down south that have reputations for bootlegging, for mob type groups. There's cities that have reputations for gang violence. Chicago right now doesn't have too good of a reputation, does it? Because of the numbers of people that are dying there every day. Murdered. When it goeth well with the righteous, the city rejoiceth, and when the wicked perish, there is shouting. You say, well, that sounds pretty harsh. Well, there are some people that are so wicked, and they have forfeited their right to live. Did you know that it's possible to do that? To forfeit your right to live? I'm not trying to be harsh at all. I want to be honest with you for just a moment. If you come and break into my house at night and I'm there, I'm going to consider the fact, I'm going to assume that you've willingly forfeited your right to live. Because they're going to carry me or you out. One of us are going to come in, carry out feet first. That's just the way it is. You protect your home. And God expects you to do that. There is such a thing as capital punishment as well. There is a crime that can be punished by death, and there are several of them in Old Testament and New Testament. It's even, did you know that in Romans chapter 13 it says that they use not the sword in vain? Talking about the government has the right to execute evildoers. That's true. Now, I don't want to be in a position of having to do that because I'm a nice guy. I'm full of love. I don't want to kill anybody. I don't want to see anybody killed. I'd rather see folks get right with the Lord and behave themselves, wouldn't you? But sometimes people forfeit their right to live. Those terrorists that killing innocent women and children, as far as I'm concerned, and scripturally speaking, they have forfeited their right to live. And so they have had ample opportunity to repent. And they still can, by the way, if they, before they, well, let's say it this way. Crimes against society I have to pay for. If I commit a crime against society, I have to pay for it. I can still get right with God. I can still ask God for forgiveness, but that doesn't mean that I don't have to pay my debt to society when I commit a crime against society, especially a capital crime. Now, let me give you these verses. Proverbs chapter 28, verses 12 and 28. When righteous men do rejoice, there is great glory, but when the wicked rise, a man is hidden. When the wicked rise, men hide themselves, but when they perish, the righteous increase. Proverbs 29 and verse 8. Scornful men bring a city into a snare, but wise men turn away wrath. Isn't that interesting? Proverbs chapter 14, verse 34. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. You know that verse, don't you? We use that a lot at 4th of July. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. All right, let's read these verses again. Verse 10, when it goeth well with the city, with the righteous, the city rejoiceth, and when the wicked perish, there is shouting. By the blessing of the upright, the city is exalted, but it is overthrown by the mouth of the wicked. So there is a difference here, and there is a difference even in places that we live. Why is it that the United States of America has been blessed in the way that it has? Do you think it's an accident? You think it's coincidence? No, there's a reason for it. The reason is that we were founded on the principles of God's Word. Now, it doesn't mean all those men that signed the Declaration of Independence and Bill of Rights and all those things that were done, doesn't mean that all of them were saved or that they were godly men, so to speak. Some of them were not godly men. We know that. The majority of them were, and the ones that weren't had respect and were at least God-fearing, they did believe in that they were doing the right thing and that these were eternal principles that should be practiced, or they wouldn't have signed it. Where did they get it? They got it from God's Word. The laws that we have here are based upon the Word of God. And that's why they are perpetual. It's alive, isn't it? It's the Word of God. It's the truth, and the truth does not change. Things that's new is not true, and if it's new, it's not true, and if it's true, it's not new. So we see these verses tell us about the fact that, verse 11, by the blessing of the upright, the city is exalted, but it is overthrown by the mouth of the wicked. What is destroying our nation right now? The mouth of the wicked. Talking about the principles, principles that our country is built on. What about the colleges and universities? The professors and the students, what are they being taught? What are they practicing? What do they believe? Well, they'll tell you. They'll tell you what they believe, and it's not in conjunction with the Word of God and with the truth. It's all based on selfishness. It's all based on humanism. It's all based on socialism. You can mark it down, check them out. Now, verse 12. He that is void of wisdom despiseth his neighbor. Why is this word neighbor again? Isn't that interesting? He that is void of wisdom despiseth his neighbor, but a man of understanding holdeth his peace. Now, let's talk about the folks who live nearby for just a minute. You got somebody that lives nearby. How long are they going to live there? You don't know, do you? Long time? Maybe? Short time? We don't know. But don't we want the relationship to be good and peaceful? I think I could tell you this. We got some folks next door to us, and they're getting up in years pretty good, and it may not be too long before their house it comes up for sale. They may go move away to somewhere to live with the kids or something like that. And you know what I'm thinking? I'm hoping whoever moves in there is nice folks and don't have a bunch of rowdy teenagers and loud dogs barking all night long. I'm a nice fella, but I don't like dogs not barking all night long. Don't get me started on that. Have any of you ever experienced that? Yeah. Say, oh, amen or oh me. He that is void of wisdom despiseth his neighbor. Well, you don't have good sense, he says. If you despise your neighbor, you ought to love them and help them and realize that they're closer than a brother far off, the scripture says. A neighbor that is nearby is better than a brother that's far off. But a man of understanding holdeth his peace. That means there's times when you just have to say, bite your tongue and let time take care of things. Do you know those rowdy teenagers will eventually grow up and move out? Where we lived, there right up around the corner from us was a house full of teenage boys that worked on cars all night long. And then when they got it out where, and these cars, we're talking about hot rod cars, open headers or, you know, no mufflers or whatever, but they try them out in the middle of the night, just up and down the road. And my dad talked to him, said, hey, can you talk with the boys and have them, you know, shut it down sometime after midnight? Never worked, never helped. But you know what? Eventually they grew up and moved on. And we maintained a good relationship because trying to be nice. Because you know what would have happened had we tried to make them shut it down? They'd have gotten noisier. And no doubt, knowing there's no telling what they would have done to our property when we weren't home. I just think that would have happened had we not held our peace. We did what we could. We spoke. We took it as far as we could. We even called the police once. That was back in the day when you could call them, what's the word? You could call them without them knowing who was calling. Now they got caller ID, can't do that. Back in the day, we used to call them and say, hey, there's kids out here running up and down the road. Would y'all take care of it? Click. But guess what? When the cops came out, they just happened to be in their yard not doing any of that. In Proverbs chapter 10, verse 19, listen to this verse. It says, in the multitude of words there wanteth or lacketh not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. It's better sometimes not to speak. And I'm speaking from experience. It's better sometimes not to speak. Just let it go. Because you're not, you know, you can win an argument and lose a friend. You can do that. If you want to, I'd rather keep the friend. That's what it's talking about here. These neighbors, try to keep them, you know, as being a friend. Somebody that you may need them sometime. It may be an emergency. Weather emergency, something like that, or something happened, earthquake or floods. You need each other. Then verse 13 kind of goes along with these. Verse 13, a talebearer. You know what a talebearer is, don't you? A gossiper, someone who has something, a juicy piece of gossip that they can't wait to tell somebody about. Whether it's true or not, doesn't matter. Don't worry about the facts. What is it that I shared it with you before? It said that we don't repeat gossip, we get it right the first time. Right? No need in repeating it if you get it right the first time. We need to be careful, don't we? We need to be careful about the information that we share. A talebearer. Some folks are more of a talebearer than others. Some folks have such a reputation as a talebearer that nobody believes what they're saying anyway. Proverbs chapter 26, verses 20 and 22. Listen to this. Where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceaseth. As coals are to burning coals and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. The words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost part of the belly, down in your soul, down in the innermost part of your being. They hurt. Trying to disprove a lie. Has anybody ever told a lie about you? May have happened in high school, may have happened in church, may have happened in family. May happen in your neighborhood. Has anybody ever told a lie about you? And you remember, what in the world where did that come from? And then having to disprove it, trying to say, well, that's not true. It's tough, isn't it? It's disappointing. One of the most disappointing things in the world is somebody saying something about you that's not true, that you love, you have confidence in them, and you have more confidence in them that they wouldn't do such a thing. That hurts. That hurts. That's why it says here the wounds of a talebearer, or the words of a talebearer is wounds, and they go down deep into the innermost part of the belly. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 19 says, "He that goeth about as a talebearer revealeth secrets. Therefore meddle not with him that flattereth with his lips." He's getting down to where the rubber meets the road again, isn't he? There were the sharp, where it's pretty sharp words. He that goeth about as a talebearer revealeth secrets. Have you ever said to anybody, "Can you keep a secret?" Yeah. Did they? No. No, they didn't. It's difficult to keep a secret, isn't it? Isn't it difficult? Isn't it difficult to keep a secret? So, depending on the situation, it may be better not to tell the secret if you don't want it to get out. If you don't want it to get out, you best keep it to yourself. Because, especially if it's going to hurt someone. "He that goeth about his talebearer revealeth secrets, therefore meddle not with him that flattereth with his words." Somebody just got something to say to impress, wanting to be the first one to say it. It's always been exciting to be the first one to give good news or bad news. I don't know why that is, but it's the case. It's human nature that we just want to say what we've heard and what we've learned. And so that's why we need to be careful that it's true and that it's right. And remember the Lord Jesus. He didn't do any of that, did he? He didn't do any of that. He moved with a sense of urgency, but he didn't share and do things. He was not a busybody. He was not a talebearer. He was not trying to divide people or start fights. He was a peacemaker. He put fires out, didn't start them. He was what we should be. Let's be peacemakers, not troublemakers. Amen. Let's bow our heads for prayer.